Let's start with another story that now seems less menacing than it did 2 years ago. That's when an Ebola outbreak started in West Africa. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the virus killed more than 11,000 people and infected more than 28,000. Today, the World Health Organization declared the outbreak to be over. Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea had been where almost all the cases occurred, and now they're all officially free of Ebola. Throughout the epidemic, we checked in with Liberia's Minister of Information, Lewis Brown. Today, he says Liberians are celebrating, but with caution.
People are slowly returning to our way of life. And in fact, we're still recovering from the after effects as we were engulfed by fear. Fear of each other, fear of our own way of life, fear of our innate cultural values and beliefs. It affected our economy. It affected the way mothers would care for their children. It went to the heart of who we are. We were able, with the help of partners, to find our way out of this, and we've been able to overcome it.
That fear, of course, led to vigilance. There were songs about Ebola prevention. People got used to washing their hands in bleach, to not shaking hands, to just being really hyper-cautious. What are the lingering effects of all those things today in Monrovia?
We're back, actually, to gradually shaking hands again. But yes, you're right. In fact, in many public places in the Ministry of Information where I work, a public facility, we still have a bucket, our water, our soap, and we're still encouraging people to watch. But it has altered the way we treat patients at medical facility. That will remain in place for a very long time. We have now a triage system is being institutionalized. Our people are being trained and retrained. And thanks to many of these preventive infection measures at our medical facilities, just to step back a bit, we saw many of our hospitals and clinics literally became incubating places for the virus because of poor infection prevention procedures that we had in our medical facilities. Now that we've had this tragic experience, these things have improved. And so, yes, there's a lot of hard feelings. There's a lot of sad memories. We've lost a number of loved ones. I lost a former classmate who graduated from high school together. He rose to become a medical doctor at the John F. Kennedy, our biggest referral hospital. He lost his life fighting this virus himself. But what has come out of it is the capacity that has been built to be able to save more lives going forward.
Mr. Minister, for you personally, I'm just curious to know, when you travel overseas, are you treated differently now than before the Ebola outbreak?
There were moments where we felt unfairly stigmatized, that we did not invite this upon ourselves. It was a disease, but we understand people were afraid. People have to prevent themselves as well. So it became difficult to distinguish between the disease and the person. And sometimes you felt treated as a disease as opposed to being a person. But we were able to overcome all of that. We're now pleased that we're being again respected as we've always been around the world.
Lewis Brown is Liberia's Minister of Information. Even as the WHO marked the end of Ebola today, it warned that new flare-ups of the disease were possible. So is it over or not? David Quammen is the author of Ebola, The Natural and Human History of a Deadly Virus, a short volume he researched and wrote when the outbreak began in 2014. Quammen says Ebola is still out there. We just don't know where.
This is a virus that is so harmful in humans, so virulent in humans, that it can't reside merely in humans. We would know about it if it were lurking in humans somewhere else in the world. It has to live somewhere, because a virus can only persist, can only keep itself alive within the cells of some other living creature. So it's got to be in a critter out there. It's got to be in some other sort of organism in between the times when it is killing humans.
And why does it have to be in another kind of species out there, a critter, as you say? I mean, why couldn't it just be defeated?
You hear about the eradication of polio. You hear about the eradication of smallpox. The reason those viruses can be eradicated is because they are not viruses that jump between humans and other species. The fancy term for that is zoonotic pathogens, zoonotic viruses. A zoonotic virus is one that passes back and forth between a non-human organism and humans. And anything that falls into that category is something that can't be eradicated from the world simply by curing all humans, because it continues to exist in its what they call reservoir host. That's the other organism.
Yes. So what about these reservoir hosts? I mean, these are animals. Is it strictly mammals or all animals that could carry around Ebola but don't get sick from it?
It's not strictly mammals. It might be some other kind of an animal. It might potentially even be a plant or a fungus, although mammals are the first suspects. And you hear people say, well, Ebola, it lives in bats. That is suspected, but that has never been proven. The question of Ebola's reservoir host is still unsolved, and it's a very important question because until we solve it, we should expect another outbreak to occur eventually.
So you traveled into the jungles of Central Africa to the sorts of places where Ebola lurks in these reservoir hosts. What does this part of the world look like, and what is the thinking about what kind of animals, what kind of species do carry Ebola?
Well, of course, in Central Africa and to a lesser degree in West Africa, there's a lot of forest. There's a lot of richly diverse tropical forest, and there are people living in that forest. There are small villages and towns within the forest. And that typically is where a new Ebola outbreak begins. It doesn't begin in the big cities. It begins in the villages. It begins in the provinces. It begins close to the forest. Why is that? Well, presumably because somebody comes into contact with the reservoir host, whether it's a bat or a rodent or an insect or a tick, we don't know. But somebody comes into contact with that creature and becomes the first human case. And from that point, it spreads human to human. 40 years since the first Ebola outbreak, and we still don't know where the virus lurks between human outbreaks.
David, what do you think are the key lessons from this outbreak in West Africa that might prevent another outbreak, or at least could inform us about what could trigger another outbreak?
Well, the tricky thing to remember is that this was a horrible outbreak that became an epidemic in West Africa. More than 28,000 people were infected. More than 11,000 died. Of those 28,000 cases, all but one of those were cases of human-to-human transmission. The very first case was a case of reservoir host, to human transmission. So it might seem like the question of reservoir host is relatively unimportant. You know, 28,000 cases of human-to-human transmission, one case of reservoir host-to-human transmission. But until we identify the reservoir host and find ways to prevent future spillovers, to keep people away from that creature, whatever it is, that bat or that rodent or that insect, until we solve that mystery, we can't prevent future outbreaks, and the next one might also lead to 11,000 human deaths.
David Quammen, the author of Ebola, The Natural and Human History of a Deadly Virus. Thanks very much.
Good to talk with you, Marco.